This is The First Time, Chirp Radio's live storytelling and music series. Every show, we invite a group of storytellers to talk about different firsts and pick a song to go with it. Recorded at Martyrs in Chicago's North Center, with songs performed by The First Time 3. Here's your host, Jen Sedini.
Up next, the band said this might be a top five song choices of all time. So you should definitely, I know, right? So just a little tease. We've got four more. Andy Friedman is a Chirp volunteer. And I just want to give a shout out to who here is a Chirp volunteer? Yes? So many. But Andy Friedman is a DJ whose show is Monday afternoons from 3 to 6 p.m. He's a longtime broadcaster. He's done work for CBS Radio, iHeartMedia, The Tribune, and many, many more. Please give a warm welcome to Andy Friedman.
So I'm going to tell you some like really wild shit tonight. I've been waiting for this. So the first time I saw O.J. Simpson, he was wearing a white shirt on a beautiful sunny day. The second time I saw OJ, he was getting led away by the police. But this isn't a story about OJ. It's a story about how those meetings led me to a whole new life here in Chicago. So it does work. Let me back up. It was 4 years before the murders of his ex-wife and friend. I was a reporter at KFI Radio in Los Angeles. Yeah. That's right. I was assigned to sit down with OJ ahead of his appearance at a parade. When I met him, he was so unbelievably nice, so warm, and he looked at me in the eye with this friendly smile, and he said, "Andy, it is so nice to meet you." For some odd reason, I remember that his white shirt was made of an expensive mesh material. I later bought this fake one at an expensive designer store on Clybourne called Costco. Several years later, I was on the crime beat when I was assigned to cover a double murder in West LA. OJ's ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman, had been killed, and OJ was a suspect. My bosses said, "Andy, you met OJ. Go cover the trial. Go cover the story." Well, shortly after the murders, the cops told us OJ was wanted and he was missing. Now, this is where it gets really strange. Soon afterwards, I got a call that his white Ford Bronco had been spotted driving on the 710 freeway. I jumped into my brown Bronco and headed that way. Now, the driver's side door on my Bronco was a darker brown than the rest of the car because 2 weeks beforehand, I had flung open the door in the path of an oncoming city bus, so I got the door replaced. Anyway, it didn't take long to find OJ's Bronco since he was leading a convoy of press and police. You have seen the world-famous video of the freeway chase. OJ was on his way back to his mansion in Brentwood, and the world stopped to watch. And I'm sure if you look really carefully at the video, you can see me 10 vehicles behind OJ in my light brown Bronco with a dark brown door. So I had one of those giant brick cell phones with me and spent most of the chase either live on the radio or talking to my mom, who was just happy I had a job somewhere. Now, the cops blocked off OJ's neighborhood, but I knew a secret way in. I just needed to go past my mom's friend Irene's house on Oakmont and not let her know that I was driving by, or I would hear, "Andy, come on in. I have the brisket with the apricots." So I dodged the brisket and I was at OJ's in time to see him step out of his car, get handcuffed, and be whisked away by the police. Well, guess who was assigned to cover the murder trial? That's right, it was me. And I think my colleagues at KFI were relieved to have dodged that bullet. I had covered prosecutor Marcia Clark before. I knew defense attorney Robert Shapiro from covering the Menendez brothers, whom we called the Menendi. Now, the court building set up a large press area where we could write our stories and do our broadcasts. We called it Camp OJ, and it was close quarters, almost shoulder to shoulder. There was a guy from a radio network who brought his 7-year-old son with him, and he would ask reporters to watch him while he went into the courtroom, and it's like, we don't know you. Now, this person is still around. You have probably heard this person on national radio over the past couple weeks. Now, there were also two TV reporters who would sneak off into a back room during lunch and emerge a half hour later with flushed faces and messed up hair. And you have totally watched one of these people hundreds of times, including probably in the last couple weeks. Now, my favorite one, there was my friend Bill Cooper from competing news radio station KNX 1070, this guy was always messing with me. Once when I was reading my news script live on the air, just kind of like this, I was outside the courthouse, he walks up to me, pulls out his lighter, lights my script on fire, and walks away. And I'm putting out flames with my hand like this while finishing up my 3 p.m. report. And I got it perfect. So, it's one of my great journalistic achievements. Thank you. Now, OJ's legal team was incredible. Robert Shapiro, along with genius Johnny Cochran, Robert Kardashian, Kim Khloe Courtney, and Rob's dad, and others. They got a well-known expert to help them pick the jury. I asked prosecutor Marcia Clark why they didn't do the same. And they had offers of free help from other consultants. And Marcia told me, well, she didn't need the help, and that she knew what she was doing. I wasn't so sure. Well, the jury seemed to be in OJ's corner from day one, according to their body language. It didn't help the prosecution that the strongest part of their case, the DNA evidence, was presented by a monotone lawyer who actually put people to sleep as he outlined whose blood was supposedly found where. And when prosecutor Christopher Darden asked OJ to try on one of the gloves found at the crime scene, let's think this through for a second. If you're OJ, are you just gonna slip it on and go, oh wow, it fits great? Maybe not. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. So this is my first course in covering a long trial, and it lasted almost a year. During that time, I did regular news reports for whoever would pay me. The AP, Jerry Falwell's Standard News Network, they paid great. Radio stations in Washington, D.C., and Portland, Oregon, and Q101 here in Chicago. I had regular segments for the Lance and Stolle show, which I don't know if anybody remembers, this was before Mancow was on the air. Well, around that time, the Jenny Jones TV show was airing from the NBC tower. Who remembers Jenny Jones? Nikki, that's your aunt, right? That's Nikki's aunt. Well, she was one of the first tabloid-style TV talk hosts, and one of the most famous segments involved two friends from Michigan. After the show was taped, one friend killed the other, forcing the producers to pull the show, and they panicked about what to air in its place. Now, someone there had heard me on Q101 and called me to ask if I would fly to Chicago and talk about OJ on their show. And I'd never been here before, and I thought it would be super fun. So they booked me at the Executive Plaza Hotel on Wacker. That's the hotel that later became the Royal Sonesta, where they filmed The Dark Knight in 2008. Now, as soon as I stepped out of the hotel and saw Michigan Avenue, I was hooked on Chicago. As I explored the city for a few hours before my appointment with Jenny Jones and TV Destiny, it dawned on me that I had to be here, and it wasn't just the Garrett's popcorn. I did the TV appearance, and, well, it was one more opportunity to learn why TV wasn't really my thing. And The trial was done soon after that. O.J. was instantly acquitted, and I came to Chicago again, this time to sit in on the Q101 morning show with Lance and Stolle. I sort of bombed that appearance too, but it was Fall of Chicago and so beautiful. So that was 1995. 4 years later, I got a job offer out of the blue to come here to work for CBS, and I had to do it. Well, that job was not a love connection. But Jim was there, he knows. But the next one would be, and so would the one after that. I put down roots, raised my kids here, successfully keeping them out of jail much of the time. So I go back to LA pretty often. I miss the weather. I do not miss the traffic. OJ's house on Rockingham was demolished in 1998, but Irene's house on Oakmont is still there. I was there a few months ago and even had some of the brisket with the apricots. And it's funny how things work out. Who would have guessed that a random assignment to interview OJ Simpson would lead to a life in Chicago, and best of all, a weekly show on Chirp Radio, Mondays from 3 to 6. All right. Thank you. Thank you. All right.
And you may find yourself living in a shotgun shack. And you may find yourself in another part of the world. And you may find yourself behind the wheel of a large automobile. And then you may find yourself in a beautiful house with a beautiful wife. And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here? Letting the days go by. Letting the days go by. How do I work this? And you may ask yourself, where is that large automobile? And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful house. And you may tell yourself, this is not my beautiful wife. Letting the days go by. Letting the days go by. Into the blue as it ever was, same 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 as it ever was. Water dissolving, water removing. There is water at the bottom of the ocean. Dig under the water, carry the water, remove the water from the bottom of the ocean. Water dissolving and water removing. Letting the days go by.
Let the water hold me down.
Letting the days go by.
Water flowing underground.
Into the blue again.
Into the silent water.
Once in a lifetime.
There's water underground.
You may ask yourself, what is that beautiful house? You may ask yourself, where does that highway go to? You may ask yourself, am I right? Am I wrong? And you may say to yourself, my God, what have I done?
Letting the days go by.
Letting the days go by.
Water flowing underground.
Into the blue again.
Into the silent water.
Into the lifetime.
There is water underground.
Letting the days go by.
Let the water hold me down.
Letting the days go by.
Water
same as it ever was. And look where my hand was. Time isn't holding us, time isn't after us. Same as it ever was, same as it ever was.
The First Time is hosted by Jen Sedini, with production by Andy Vasoyan and executive director Bobby Evers. The podcast is edited by Andy Vasoyan, with songs performed by The First Time 3. You can find this and other Chirp podcasts and interviews at chirpradio.org/podcasts.